Praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk about God is faithful to deliver us. You know, sometimes when we're facing so much adversity and everything in the world is going on, and you wonder sometimes how you're going to make it. Now, I don't know. Maybe y'all haven't been there, but I have, you know. And as you face adversity, you have got to realize that your deliverance is in God. Now, how many of you have faced some adversity in life? Well, out of this big congregation, I had about 150 people raise their hand. I know better than that, because if you're breathing God's oxygen, you faced adversity sometime in your life. In fact, the enemy tries to bring something into your world every day. Do you realize that? He is trying to destroy. Peter says that he goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you've ever go and look at it, Animal Channel or anything like that, you will see that I was watching one of these programs, and this lion was looking and it was stalking a herd. I don't know whether it was one of those things. It's a deer, but it's not a deer. They call it something else, you know. But, a gazelle, or what's the other one? Impala. There you go. And but the whole herd was there. He didn't attack the herd. He waited till one of them that maybe was not feeling good or whatever, sickly, it fell behind the herd, and he attacked that. That's what Peter's talking about. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. I want you to notice it said whom he may devour. If we keep ourselves strong in the word and realize that God is faithful to deliver us, we'll make it every time. Now let's look at something that Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. And I'm going to read the New King James, and then I'm going to read from the NLT, because sometimes it gives us a clearer picture. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversities. Now the New Living says, in the meantime, I'll be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. Now here Paul is realizing he has a great open door for ministry there in Ephesus, to teach the word, but he also says that he has opposition. He stated the fact that I'm going to stay here. Even though there's opposition, he said, I'm going to stay here. So many times we want to run from the opposition, but he mentioned that about the adversity, not as a statement of fear. He mentioned it the fact that, hey, it's here, but I'm going to overcome because of my God. See, whenever we have adversity that comes against us, excuse me, we shouldn't be surprised, because I've already told you, he's told us that the devil goes as a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. He also says that he had come that we might have life and have more abundantly, but the devil has come to seek, kill, and destroy. Excuse me. You know, sometimes people think if they have adversity or some trial comes against them, that they're not in the will of God. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you've thought it your own self. Let me tell you, neither the absence nor the presence of adversity is an indicator of what the will of God is for your life. So get that out of your head. Because the enemy uses that against people. He uses it against people to get them out of church. He uses it against Rhema students to get them out of Rhema. Thinking, oh, well, I wouldn't be having all this problem if I wasn't here. No, that, to me, that's probably a good indicator that you ought to be here. Because he does not want anybody to learn anything about the word so they can come out and stomp on his head. Come on. See, you know, I've heard people say, I'm having a lot of trouble. I must not be in the will of God. Now, I've heard that bunches of times in 63 years of ministry. You know, if Paul would have believed, oh, I'm not in the will of God, he would have got out of Ephesus, you know, and nobody, he wouldn't have been there to preach the gospel and to establish a mega church. He did. Go study it. If that was his attitude, he would have never fulfilled what God wanted him to do. We got to be like the Apostle Paul and realize that we're going to have adversity. We're going to have opposition. But his confidence was in his faithful Jehovah God that would deliver him. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Anybody faced any adversity in life lately? Yeah, I faced it yesterday. I married Bruce and Cindy Black. They traveled me on the road. They're like my kids. I watched them grow up. And you know, the enemy tried to come to you, and I didn't have to say, listen, Mr. Devil, you're gonna catch, instead of me backing down, I'm going to come after you harder than I've ever come in my life. I've had to do that several times. Student Greg Smith, Memorial Student Housing over there. Young man traveling out on the road with me. And then him and his wife went to Connecticut, started a church. He just died in his sleep one night. Nobody still knows why. I told him, Mr. Devil, you shouldn't have done that. Come on. Am I speaking to anybody? Sometimes when these things happen to us, we want to draw in a shell. But that's when we need to... I don't know how to say it any other way. Just get mean. Get mean with the devil. It's all right to get mean with the devil. It's all right to kick him and punch him with the word of God. See, you take charge with your mouth. You know, God's power delivered the Apostle Paul. God's power delivered the saints of old. And if he's still the same God, and the Bible says that he never changes, then he'll take care of us. I believe that. Now, some people say, well, you're sort of simple. Well, I may be, but I'm still here. And some of the ones that told me that, hey, they're not. Come on. When I was sliding on my motorcycle in Taiwan, I didn't have time to have a prayer meeting or go on a fast. I just hollered, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you could see where it slid over the edge. But the next thing I knew, I was in the air, and I hit the pavement, and that back tire goes, squealed. I went up on the grass and come back down and stopped. One of the guys said, boy, you was lucky. The knobs on that tire caught. I said, there wasn't no knobs caught anything. I said, God did it. You know, hey, somebody said, well, weren't you afraid of what they say? I don't care what they said. Didn't make me no difference. I mean, hey, I'm alive today because I believed my God would take care of me when I hollered Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Everything. Come on now. Anybody ever read about a man in the Bible named David? I think if you read his story, he had some problems. He had some adversity. Let's read from him here. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Now look at this in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Let's read that from the New Living because it gives it a little better. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person may face many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. Each time. See, the enemy will come back and say, oh, yeah, he delivered you last time, but he's not going to do it this time. That's what the enemy will tell your head. That's what he'll jump tell you. But see, it says here, he comes to rescue you each time. See, David was convinced that God would deliver him. Number one, he had seen it happen time and time again. And that's what we got to remember. If he delivered us once, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He killed the lion that tried to take his father's sheep. He overcome the giant Goliath. He had to escape from King Saul, throwing spears at him. And then Saul chased him all over Israel. And he got delivered every time. In fact, if you read the story, some of the times God would tell David where Saul was. When he became king, he was victorious over all of the enemies of Israel. Why? Because he trusted God and knew he would deliver him out of all, again and again and again and again, over and over and over. God will come to deliver you if you keep your faith in the Word and keep the Word coming out of your mouth. Your weapon against the enemy is the Word of God coming out of your mouth. That's your sword. Come on. David's testimony, Paul's testimony. God is faithful to perform his word and deliver you out of all your trials, troubles, every time. You got to develop that attitude. You know, sometimes people say, well, they got an attitude. Hey, that's a good attitude. You need to develop that attitude. The attitude that whenever the devil comes against me, he's not going to prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. God will raise me up. He will set me up above my enemies. One of the verses in the Bible says. Now, look at this, what Paul says here, talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, in chapter 3, verse number 10. And I'm going to read it from New King James and the New Living. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me. Woo, man. In his life, he said, I had to be long-suffering. I had to persevere. I had persecution. I had afflictions. He said, all this happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. New Living says it like this, but you, Timothy, carefully know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith. You know my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued, say rescued, me from all of it. All of it. He suffered many things in many places. Let's go now. That's what he was talking to Timothy. But let's go read about that in Acts. You know, the first 9 chapters of Acts is basically about Peter, and the rest of it is basically about Paul and his missionary journeys and so forth and so on. I don't know whether you know that or not. If you went to Rhema, you should have studied that in one of the classes. All right, here we go. Acts 13:45. See, now here, Luke, who was in the traveling company with Paul, he was part of his team, we might say, then in the day, Luke was. And he's the one that wrote Acts. Actually, the Gospel of Luke is nothing more than a letter to his friend Theophilus. And if you'll take the end of Luke and hook it on with the book of Acts, you'll see that it's a continuation of what Luke was talking about. Here it is. So Luke is recounting all of these things that happened in their journey. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, I'm going to read this from the NLT. They were jealous, so they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to the Jews, but since you've rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life become believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout the region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So Paul and Barnabas, they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection, and went on to the town of Iconium. And they said, okay, y'all don't want to hear the gospel? Yeah. Forget you. That's what we'd say. They shook the dust. That indicates that what they were saying to those people, hey, forget you. You don't want to hear the gospel? All right. We're going to go over to Iconium. And so there they went. Acts 14:1. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of the Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Laconia, to the town of Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area. At Lystra, the Jews dragged Paul out of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. I believe Paul had some problems. Hello? I mean, hey, a lot of people today, they still wouldn't be left preaching, but Paul didn't let it deter him. See, it says they, actually, in the NLT, let me read verses 19, 20 in NLT from Acts 14, 19 and 20. Then some of the Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd to their side. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. He got up. They thought he was dead. But God said otherwise. And he got up. Paul delivered him out of every situation that he got in. You need to go back and remember something about Paul. Paul was the one that incited the Jewish people against Stephen. Paul was the one that was holding their coats while they threw stones and stoned Stephen. He had killed many, many Christians. He was on his way there with letters in his possession from the Sanhedrin to get rid of these agnostics, these people that believe in Jesus, and that's when God struck him down and he changed. And because he believed God, he was delivered from every adversity that came his way. All of these troubles came to Paul. He went back to the same cities and preached. Go to Acts 14, 21 and 22. And when they preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Wow. Didn't they stone him there in one of them places? And they went there to strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith, saying, "We went through many tribulations and entered the kingdom of God." See, look at what he says about himself in 2 Corinthians 11, 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." Do you realize that 5 times he took 39 stripes on his back? 5 times. Jesus took those stripes from those. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep or been in the ocean. In journeys often, in the perils of water, in the perils of robbers, in the perils of my own countrymen, in the perils of Gentiles, in the perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, or trouble you could say, in perils in the sea, in perils again among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes up to me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. He said, hey, I've faced all of this, and I'm still here, and I'm still telling you that God will deliver you and will set you free. He said his concern for the churches. That's what he was telling them. Look, you may face some things. He believed God was faithful to perform his word. Do you believe God is faithful to perform his word? Paul's testimony, David's testimony is the Lord delivered them out of every problem, every situation, everything that come against them. You know, we may have many trials, but God will deliver those that will trust him. I didn't say just make a mental agreement. I didn't say that just mouth words. I said he will deliver those that will trust him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise up us with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread to the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And you might say, even though the outward man is having some problems, the inward man on the inside, if you let him, he'll rise up and take charge. I just sort of paraphrase it. That's Hagin translation, okay? Now, this is what I want you to get a hold of. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceedingly great eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have that same spirit of faith. Actually, Paul is quoting what David said over in the Psalms. David and Paul had that kind of faith. Since we have the spirit, same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore I spoke. Come on. Do you believe? And are you speaking? Trouble will come your way. The devil will make sure that. In fact, this morning, since you heard a good word, you walk out that door and he'll slap you up beside the head. And that's when you're going to have to say, hey, I believe what the word says. Get out of here. Leave me alone. You have no right. You have no authority in this life, in my body, in anything. You have no authority. Get out of here. We learn to believe and to raise our voice and strongly and boldly declare what the Bible says. Not what some preacher says, not what somebody else told you. What does the Bible say? And you heard me say it time and time and time again. My dad would say, I'd say, Dad, what about this? What about that? Son, what does the Bible say? I've heard him tell people that come to him time and time again. What does the Bible say? What does the word say? He would say. What does the word say? Listen, it's what the word says that counts, not what somebody else says. Not even what I say, unless I'm saying the word. Come on. Sooner or later, you're going to have some of these things. But I want you to notice he said, for our light afflictions. And he went on to say that they wouldn't last. They're temporary. But the word of God and who God is and the things that God says is eternal. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, as far as I'm concerned. Paul looked at his trouble and said, hey, this is only temporary. God is bringing deliverance. Anytime anything comes against you, you need to look at it and say, oh, well, Mr. Devil, let me tell you something. This is temporary because God's bringing deliverance. You better start packing your bag and get ready to get out of here because God's coming. Come on now. Instead of saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh. No, you say, hey, Mr. Devil, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to quote the word of God. I'm going to kick you out of here. You get out of here. You don't have no right in here. Denise was about, three, four. And I'm a light sleeper. And I heard her fidgeting and crying. I went in there and she was burning up with fever. I laid my hands on her and prayed for her. I said, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. Her head went cool right under my hand. I laid back down and went to sleep. Oh, what? 30, 40 minutes later, I hear her crying. I go across the hall, go into her bedroom. She's burning up with fever. I pray again. It leaves. I go back and lay down. About an hour later, she wakes up crying. I go in there, and I should have done this the first time, but now I am mad at the devil. I mean, he done woke me up three times. I got to teach school in the morning. I said, Mr. Devil, I'm going to tell you what. You have no authority in this body. I command this body to be well and healed. I command this fever to go. And then besides that, I'm going to kick you out of my house. And I actually literally kicked him out in the hall. I kicked him down the hall. I kicked him down the stairs. I kicked him down the entry hall. I opened the front door and kicked him outside, but I didn't stop there. I went on outside. I kicked him all the way down to the curb in the street, and there was a gutter there, and I kicked him down in, and he said, I said, that's where you belong. Now stay there. She never woke me up the rest of the night, and she never had any more problem with that day. Come on now. You see, you got to really, do you really believe it? And then are you going to act it? Paul believed it and spoke it. My attitude is, I may face many troubles, but the Lord is working right now to deliver them out of me, out of them all. I may not see it. I may not feel it, but he's working. He's always working. If you'll keep confessing the word, he's working. Now, no matter what, he's working. Come on, kids, get up here. I'm finished. I want some singing right now. I want everybody to stand up and say, I believe God. He will deliver me. If I will believe him, he will deliver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You ready?
I am.
Go ahead. The rest of them will join you.
Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Hallelujah. When Paul was in all of those situations, he didn't see anything happening. I mean, they hitting him with them stones. They drug him out of the city, thought he's dead. But hey, God was working. God was working. The devil may tell you it's all over. The devil may tell you, just forget about it. But let me tell you what, God's working. Whether you can see it or not, whether you can feel it or not, God's working. God will deliver you. Say it. God will deliver me. If I will confess the word, if I say what the Bible says, God will deliver me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I preached to myself this morning, y'all. I'm serious. Y'all don't know it, but I had them all gathered around me. Ernie was back there. One of the ushers, two of the ushers, the staff, had prayed for me. I said, I don't hurt, but I just feel horrible. And I sat down there. And I kept praising God. I got up here, and you might notice that I didn't walk as fast as I normally do, going to the pulpit. I didn't feel like preaching. But hey, my God. And he comes through. If you believe him, he comes through. I feel great. Hallelujah. I'm sitting down there, and the devil says, man, you know, it'd be great if Craig was here. You could get him to preach. Craig's preaching in Spokane, Washington this morning. He's not here. And then the thought comes to him, well, Bill and Tad are over there. They probably got something. I said, no, Mr. Devil, I'm going to preach. I know a lot of pastors wouldn't tell that. But I want you to see, hey, I deal with things just like you do. And if I can get through it, you can. Come on. Hallelujah. Some people wouldn't, oh, you shouldn't tell that. Why not? To me, it's a testimony of what God can do. And it'll help you to be able to realize that, hey, if Pastor can do it and come through, I can do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kick the devil out. Stomp on his head. Devil, he's under our feet anyway. Why do we listen? Why are we even listening to him? Let's sing that. Devil's under my feet. Come on. I'm getting them this morning.
He's under my feet. He's under my feet. And now my victory is complete. See his broken principalities made a show of them openly. He's under my feet. Oh, he's under my feet.
Come on now, sing it.
He's under my feet.